too. Okay. Okay. Everyone, it's good to see everybody this morning. Let's hope we get a day without rain, huh? But of course, it being fair week, it had to rain, and you got to have mud for the fair, right? It's not the fair without it. Okay, we have several announcements this morning, and I'd like to ask June. She wanted to make a couple of announcements, so
we had a very special meeting last Thursday, and very positive, and we had some prayer and praise. We had music, and it was just very special. And I think everybody would feel great come out to the Thursday night meeting at 6 o'clock. And I would encourage everybody to say a prayer ahead of time. Okay. Prayer is good, but praise has got to be there also.
Yeah.
So we praise the Lord for that particular opportunity.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks. And yes, the prayer service will be this coming Thursday, August 17th, 6 p.m. We have some special music in store, so please, if you have a chance, please come out and join us. I know I heard from a couple people at Deckerville that they'll be coming out. And then we'll be doing one on August 24th at 6 o'clock. That is also the day that the DS is coming. Reverend Dr. Margie Crawford, our new DS, she's coming Thursday the 24th of August at 7 p.m. The video, Blessing One Another, will be shown. And it's going to be about an hour long, and that'll be in Wesley Hall, and Deckerville and Sandusky are invited. So, you know, please put that on your phones, or if you're like me and you got an old-fashioned planner, write it in there. There will be no fellowship today because, as June said, we're having church picnic out at Potter's this afternoon, and we're all looking forward to that. So hopefully everybody will be able to come. Free book bags with school supplies. This is going to be passed out or occur on August 19th, 2023 at the park here, right over here, Door Field. It starts at 11, and it goes, 11 in the morning, it goes until the supplies and book bags are gone. They're serving hot dogs, chips, and water, and this is sponsored by Kids for Christ. So that is a very, you know, good ministry, and spread the word that that will be available to everyone. Okay. We have a couple prayer concerns. Connie Ellis, she said this was okay. I talked to her before service. She's going to be having some surgery at the end of August. So it's a few days off, but she is asking for prayers and good wishes, and we will certainly hold you up in prayer and keep you in our thoughts. And that's in Port Huron?
Saginaw.
Okay, at Covenant in Saginaw. Okay, well, Connie, you know we'll be all there with you in thought and spirit. So, I do have a Thanksgiving. I know a couple weeks ago we asked for prayers for our nephew, Blaine Henderson. Blaine had his surgery, and it was successful, and he's doing well. He still has a kind of a long road to go, you know, and he's a young guy. He's only 41 years old, and they don't like those weight restrictions, you know, but he is doing well. So we're thankful to our Lord for safely bringing him through and allowing him to heal. Let's see. New Legacy will be here on Friday, September 8th at 6:30. Best known for harmonies, humor, and love of God. You won't want to miss this fantastic group. Admission is free. I believe they were here one other time, Pastor?
They were in KPAC.
Okay. Okay.
We have a clip we're going
to
show you in
another
week or so.
Okay, so all the feedback from that, I didn't get a chance to go to their concert in KPAC, but everybody says that that is really, really fantastic and uplifting. So mark that on your calendar as well. Okay, I guess any other announcements that we don't have written down? Okay.
That Hanford Chef catalog show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. They have wonderful products, so please. And they have some new stuff out, so very nice. Just real quick, the boards are meeting, Ed Council and Finance, the 22nd at 5:30, and Trustees, September 9th at 6:30. So just keep those in mind if you're a board member. Okay, let's move on to our birthdays this week. I have two. Bristol Wilkinson on the 14th of August, and Gary Benicki on August 19th. And we know he's 21, right? Any other birthdays that may not be written down here? No? Okay. All right. Melissa, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And we have one anniversary this week on August 13th, Rick and Debbie Tank. So if they're listening on the radio, we want to wish them a happy anniversary, so we'll go ahead and sing.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Okay, at this time, we would like to ask our acolyte, Bert, to come forward and light our candles. So please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Good morning and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us our morning message. My name is Amy Henderson. I am the worship leader this morning. Our first praise song is number 2070. I'd like to ask the congregation to please stand as they are able. He is exalted, and we will be singing it two times through. Our call to worship. Have the congregation please respond in the bold-faced type. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Sing to God. Sing praises.
Raise up your song in our souls.
Tell of God's wonderful works. Seek the Lord and claim God's strength.
We grow strong in your power and might.
Remember all that God has done. Praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Eternal God, in visions and dreams you offer us hope for a new tomorrow. Amidst life's storms and raging waters, be with us in our time of need. Reveal to us the great works that we're capable of, that we may rise above our narrow purposes and be of service to the world. Bless our journeys, that it might be said of us how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 467. In our hymnals, Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 28. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he had made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe that he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. May God add his blessings on the reading of his word.
We've mentioned several of the prayer needs already this morning. I know that there are some within our congregation awaiting procedures, some that are awaiting test results, some that are having some surgeries upcoming. And so we want to lift all of those in our prayers. Also, any unspoken this morning, unspoken needs, absolutely. The business of the week that we are praying for is Subway. Please keep all of the employees and that establishment in your prayers all week long, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The altar is always open if anyone would like to come and pray. You know that that's always available. Thank you, Lord, for this time. as we've listened to this dramatic story of Joseph being thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery by his brothers. We too may have felt like Joseph on occasion. Sometimes we feel trapped in and afraid, just as he must have. We too have been pulled in many directions at times. And we know the stress and the strain of everyday life. But Lord, of all of our journeys, like Joseph's brothers, we too find that we are in need of that light upon our path, that you would direct us and show us your ways. It's so very easy to get off the beaten path. Things get slippery and muddy and ugly at times with obstacles along the way. And on our journey, Lord, we know that we need the light of your love that shines and shows us the direction in which you would have us to go, even if we don't understand. Lord, we know that you would never lead us down a path that we weren't intended to go. We know that we can't see behind us or in front of us. We can only see right now. So we put in our hand in yours, just as we sang this morning, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord, we pray that we can do that with your help. We certainly can't do it on our own. We need you to guide the way. Show us the light of your love. And help us to soak enough of that in that we can spread it wherever we go. Lord, the world we know is counting on us. In days that seem dark and grim, Lord, may you instill in us the light that you've shined for us so many times. On so many occasions, let us be that light for someone else, that we might help along the way in our feeble attempts. Lord, with your mighty hand, you make things great. Lord, you give us abundance. You give us blessing and anointing. And Lord, we pray that this day we will feel that inspiration, and that we'll go forward one step at a time, looking for you at the end of the tunnel. You, Lord, are our strength and our shield, and you have been with each one that is going through times of grief, times of struggle. Lord, for those that right now are a little anxious, awaiting results from testing, answers from family, direction, maybe awaiting a new job or opportunities, Lord, we just pray that you will direct and guide our friends and our neighbors, our families, our church. Help us, Lord, to be an instrument of your light in a world where that light sometimes is pretty dim. Help us to seek, Lord. Help us to be used and willingly used as vessels to bring honor and to bring glory to your name. We give you all of our love. I pray we give all the honor and glory, Lord, that we can muster up this day to be laid at your feet in this time of worship. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. We invite June to come up.
There is no problem so big God cannot solve it. And there is no mountain too tall He cannot move it. And there is no storm too dark God cannot calm it. And there is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. And if He carried the weight of the world upon His shoulders, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. And if He upon His shoulders, I know, my sister, that He would carry you. He said, come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And there is no problem too big God cannot solve it. And there is no mountain too tall He cannot move it. And there is no storm too dark God cannot calm it. And there is no sorrow too deep He cannot soothe. I know, my brother, that He will carry you.
Thank you so much for that very, very beautiful, beautiful song. Our scripture reading from the New Testament today is found in Matthew. If you'd like to turn along in your Bibles and follow. From the 14th chapter, starting with verse 22, going through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already at a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Glad that you're all here this morning. Looking forward to an afternoon that we can relax and enjoy our time together. I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual markers. You know, I was in a pastor's retreat one time several years ago, and we were all sitting around different round tables, and I think we were in Sebewing, Bayshore Camp. And the person that was leading this particular session asked us if we would do a paper on our spiritual markers, which I had no idea what they were expecting of me. Handed out us each a piece of blank paper about this size, and said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to think back to your earliest recollection of getting to know Christ, of your spiritual walk with him, and I want you to draw little pictures, and I want you to make a little map of your spiritual journey with Christ." And I thought, well, my goodness, they must have spent a lot of time trying to think of things for us to do. I can't imagine me wanting to do this. But as we got into this, and I kind of started wondering where I was going to begin, as I went along in doing this assignment, I realized that there were more markers than what I had imagined I would have had. And I'm not going to go through every one of my spiritual markers, but I hope that I can encourage you today to kind of go along yours. And sometimes they're happy moments, and sometimes they're struggling moments, and sometimes they're learning moments. But all of them, we find, steer and mold and shape our journey that we go along. I remember as early back as my baptism, and I know for a long time my mother probably thought I was crazy because I do remember my baptism. I was just an infant, but after I could describe to her the minister, what he had on and so on, she realized that I did remember my baptism. And I think it's important, even if you don't remember that particular day, that as we've reaffirmed our baptism over the years, that you remember how important that time was. And so that was one of my first things that I put on my little map was my baptism. And, you know, being a young, innocent child in your father's arms, you don't have a lot of life experience yet. But as you continue to go on your journey, and I tried to, in my mind, pace what my next thing would have been, where the Lord really jumped out and spoke to me or gave me a hard lesson to learn, or maybe reprimanded me or convicted me or whatever the case was on that journey. You find that through every one of those experiences, through that mapping it out, that we don't like to dwell on the bad things, but that God gives us an opportunity to take from those rough experiences something so that we can move forward with it. People have the choice always whether to wallow in that bad experience for the rest of their life or whether they choose to use the lesson learned from it to help and identify when you see someone else going through something similar so that you might be able to help them. Because there's nothing like feeling that pain yourself to know what's really helpful and what's really not helpful. Maybe you've had an experience where you've had a loss and people wanted to help you so bad in all the good intentioned words. Sometimes they're not as helpful as we would wish they would be. And so I think God teaches us and shows us what we can do to be helpful to one another, to support each other along our journeys, that even though it might be your day to struggle, it's my responsibility to help you through that day, I think. Or to at least be there to sit beside you. And the same when it's my day or someone else's day, it's our job to be attentive to those around us and to be helping and learning from our own experiences on that map, on that roadmap of our life, that roadmap of ups and downs. And again, we have the choice to use those things to always wallow in that or to use that for something good. I had a lady that would call me years ago. She would call me almost every day. And she'd recount this terrible, horrible, absolutely devastating experience. And she relived that, I believe, every day. That does us no good, and it does no one else any good either. But moving past is hard. And it can be a real challenge. I think Joseph is a perfect example today, the story of Joseph. It can be both frustrating and miraculous at the same time. We read that in one full swoop, Joseph's life completely got turned upside down. And it would never be quite exactly the same again. He's forever thinking that he's going to be separated from his family. He's certainly taken from them at this point. Scripture tells us he was about 17. And, of course, he was the youngest. He was taken from his father, his friends, all that he knew in life up till the age of 17. He was forced to adapt to new cultures, new languages, people, and customs of living that he was not acquainted with. From a human perspective, Joseph's situation looked bleak. It looked hopeless. Many times when we look at our own lives, we think, oh boy, I don't know where this is going. It can look hopeless to us as well. But it's interesting to note that there was one moment in which Joseph actually could have been rescued. Reuben, being the older brother, didn't want to bring any physical harm to his brother and wanted to rescue him. It was a thought that Scripture makes no... This was a thought, of course, that Scripture makes no mention of him sharing his desire to rescue his younger brother out loud, but he's thinking it. Shortly after, his brother Judah also agrees that it's not a good idea to physically hurt him, but instead that they should maybe just sell him. Reuben remains silent and does not act on his desire to protect his youngest brother. And I got thinking, you know, I was talking to somebody a week or so ago, and I was remembering in this conversation, I don't even know what it was about, but to start off with, but I said, you know, in my thinking about it, there is a difference between saying I love you and showing it through your actions and kindnesses and support. You can say I love you all you want to say I love you, but if you are bitter and angry and hostile, you sure don't feel the words, do you? So I think your actions have to match up with your words. And so, I don't know the relationship other than it became very tense in Joseph's family. It became very tense because it tells us in Scripture that his father showed priority to this younger son, and that it even goes so far as to say that he loved him more than the others because he was the youngest and he was born during older years of his father. And so he made him this beautiful coat and he gave him priority. And his brothers were very jealous. Very jealous, and perhaps knowing what brothers and sisters can do sometimes, maybe Joseph egged it on a little bit too. He might have said, yeah, Dad likes me a little more, so, you know, I'm going to get to do this. Or maybe I get to push the envelope a little and I get away with a little bit more than my brothers because I'm the younger one. I don't know if he did or not. But I can see that in my own family. You know, I can see those things happening in a natural, normal family. But I do know that God had a plan all along, didn't he? And what it looked like to us and what it sounded like to us and what we're reading in Scripture. Reading all of this, we know that in the end, God was in complete control of all of it. Every single event that took place in Joseph's life. His brothers could have chosen to kill him, but God indeed rescued him from being killed in order to be used for something very much greater in the end. Joseph's life was already characterized by leadership quality. God has given you each a gift and a quality as well to be used for him, that you will be able to hone and bring about. Even if the others around you aren't seeing it at this moment, even if you can't see it in yourself, God has a plan for your life. We aren't privy to the beginning and the end like the Lord is, but we put our hand in his and trust that through each and every step and through our walk of life, no matter what it is on that chart, on that page of our spiritual markers, he's going to take each one of those items and use them to bring glory and honor to his name if you are a willing vessel to be used by him. God foresees what the future held for the nation of Israel. They needed someone who was of strong character to act on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. God knew what he had instilled in Joseph from day one. God knows what's inside of you as well. He knows what he wants to use you for. He knows our successes and our failures. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. Sometimes, from a human perspective, we look at a situation and wonder what God could possibly be doing in the midst of an impossibly difficult situation. The story of Joseph teaches us that God knows what the future holds for us and sometimes has to put us through the fire in order to refine us, to be better equipped to do his work. Joseph would not or possibly could not have been as useful and successful in leading the nation if he wasn't first separated from his family. We know that it couldn't have been an easy time for him, but it was a learning curve and a learning experience and a learning time. Just as our song this morning, Trust and Obey, as we've said those words, sometimes I think we forget that when we sing those words and every word that we say in this worship time goes before the very throne room of God. We're continuing to solidify that covenant that we've made before him, to trust and obey him, to honor him, and to do no harm, to love one another, and trust that God is working and taking care of every single detail of our lives to bring about the good even when we and our humanness don't see it. We think about our faith and our trust when we talk about the story of Peter today, another little adventure in Peter's life that I think I can relate to so very well, and maybe some of you can as well. His eagerness to do what's right and yet finding it so very hard to keep your eyes on Christ even when he's the only one in front of you. When he says, come, we want to come, don't we? We want to come to him. We want to come before him. But the second we think we're doing it on our own, we begin to sink. The minute we take our focus and our eyes off of him, we begin to sink. And so it's very difficult, but not impossible, because the Lord gives us the word today, the good word, that says, I'm here for you always. And he reaches out his hand, and Peter's not sinking at all. God is bringing him back up to himself. And he says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Don't think you have it mastered on your own, because I've got you in the palm of my hand, and I know where I want you to be used, and I know who I want you to bless. And as we continue on with this Joseph story, and we continue on and we see what God is preparing for Joseph to do, and without giving away a couple more weeks of lesson, probably, we know how it ends. It ends with forgiveness and healing and binding together, not separating, but binding together. Working together, saying, I get it. I get it. You guys did me wrong, but now we get to come back together. Getting thrown in a well has to not be a very good experience. I don't know. I hope I don't ever have that. Finally finding out how your brothers feel about you probably wasn't a good thing either, right? That wasn't an act of love. Thank goodness the Lord doesn't give us what we deserve, but his grace gives us more than we could ever imagine. And so by God's grace, even steering these other brothers away from doing even greater harm to Joseph. I always wonder what Joseph must have been feeling in the bottom of that well. Did it give him time to pray and think? Give him just a moment to have some one-on-one time with the Lord? We need that, don't we? Whether you're listening in from your vehicle today, whether you're at home all by yourself, sometimes we need that one-on-one time with the Lord so we can evaluate what we need to do differently, maybe, what we need to do to honor the Lord. And He will bless every one of those spiritual markers, I believe. If some of you want to go home and try doing that in your moments of devotion, it's kind of an eye-opening experience. And you can see God at every turn. You can see Him every one of those turns, whether it was the loss of someone precious in your life, whether it was losing a job and not wondering where, you know, your next dollar's going to come from, or whether you were just waiting for that call on the phone to get your diagnosis, or awaiting surgery. I know sometimes if you have to wait a long time, and sometimes you do these days, wait a long time for procedures, then you just start worrying about things that God says, I've already got it. I've already got this handled. I have you in the palm of my hand. I will bring even this and turn it around so that maybe you will have more compassion on someone else. I think I shared one time that I had a supervisor who was actually the head of a company that I worked for, and you know, he had a very difficult time when people had to take moments off for family matters. If there was a death in the family, if there was a sick child, or, you know, something grievous was going on within your family, he had a really hard time with thinking that was okay. And while I didn't really know anybody that abused that whatsoever in this company, it wasn't always a happy thing. But one day, he came in and he made his rounds several times a day, and one time he didn't come through making his rounds, and his wife had become very ill, and I had heard that and knew that he was then experiencing what it felt like to have someone that you really were worried about, that really needed you and couldn't be by themselves, that you really didn't want to take off work, but you needed to take off work. And I believe when he came back around later, a couple weeks later, that he had a different spirit within him. Sometimes we understand more clearly when we've walked in similar shoes. And if we haven't, it's really hard to not judge. But we must not judge, because we don't know exactly what that person is going through or experiencing in their own life. And so I wonder again with Joseph in the bottom of that well what he was experiencing. But whatever it was, it helped him to give grace to his brothers eventually. And even though he had to be devastated and hurt tremendously, he looked past all of that to what was really important. And on many occasions we have to do that, don't we? Look past this and see what God has in store. And so look for your spiritual markers and remember them and treasure them, every one of them, for where God has brought you. That experience probably happened 15 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, in that last 15 years, I probably could have added another whole page of those markers of things I've had to learn, sometimes the hard way. But nevertheless, I've learned on that path. Let us all be on that path of learning and growing and watching for those God moments where he's steering us and directing us and shaping our, molding our paths. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your guidance and your love and your direction. Thank you for your grace, most of all. For your grace that is greater than all of our sin. We ask that we can give that same kind of grace that we have so graciously and freely received. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. We can have our ushers at this time. Gracious God, we just pray that you would bless this offering today. May it be used to bring honor and glory to your name. May we help those in need. May we comfort those who need comforting. And Lord, we thank you and pray that this will be pleasing to your sight and that we will be pleasing to your ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn is page 500. And now may the God of the journey walk with you, in and out of the pits and in and out of the storms, in and out of life's struggles. May our Creator God continue to form us and bless us. Lord, empower us and strengthen us, guide us. May our God of grace encourage us this day and every day and in the days beyond this. Amen and amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie as we close today. Amen. Have a blessed afternoon.